Welcome to MTC Studio Webcast. Today we'll be covering Cortana Intelligence Suite, and specifically Big Data and Advanced Analytics. My name is Ivan Kosyukov. I am Technical Architect here in MTC New York. I'm covering data platform, and so all of the technologies starting from SQL Server, data warehousing, enterprise information management, business intelligence, machine learning. And also, to let me give a word to my colleague Jacek Iswak, who will be helping us with Q&A session.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jacek Wyżwa. I'm also a technical architect based out of the New York MTC. It's great to have you all on this live feed with us, and I look forward to answering some of your questions at the end of this session. Over to you, Ivan.
Thank you. So let's first of all start with big data flow. Usually when we are doing big data projects, we are analyzing data from different business applications, custom applications. Sometimes we analyze live data from sensors and devices. And we need some way to ingest data to our system, right? So it can be bulk insert when we are transferring huge amounts of data, or it can be event ingestion. And then we use storages. To store data, it can be relational, unstructured data. And then we need some ways of processing data, preparing data for analysis, then creating analytical queries, making aggregations. Then another thing important, which can be important, is creating machine learning projects to understand data better, to make predictions, or just analyze data in statistical ways. Then we can use visualizations to present data to people for analysis or just for informational purposes. Or we can use other ways of presenting data using our application. That's how we break different components of Cortana and Intelligence Suite. So on this slide, you can see that, first of all, we have components for information management. One of them is Events Hub. Event hubs, and also data from event hubs go to Stream Analytics, but today we will not cover these components. We will have separate live session about Stream Analytics and how you handle data from IoT devices. Today we will be covering big data. That's why we will use Data Factory, which allows you to orchestrate how you process data, how you take data from one data source, how you use separate ways of processing data, and then writing data to different data sources. From the point of view of storage, you can store unstructured data or semi-structured data. For these purposes, you can use data lake storage. And also, you can use SQL Server data warehouse to store relational data, those components. Then to analyze data and to make predictions, we have a lot of different components. First of all, we have data lake analytics, which allows you to process data using USQL language, which is have much in common with C# and Transact SQL. If you prefer using open source solutions, then you can use HD Insight, which is Hadoop or Spark in Microsoft Azure. And also you can use different ways of creating machine learning projects or data science projects. One of them is machine learning, which is very user-friendly. In this component you have user-friendly interface, and I will show it to you today. But also you can use Spark and deploy R, Microsoft R to your Spark cluster. Another set of components is dedicated to intelligence, and in this case I mean that it allows you to simplify communication with people. For example, you can use a bot framework to make sure that people can write messages and you can automatically answer those messages using big data. Also, you can use Cortana, cognitive services to, for example, analyze images, text, to transfer text to relational structure, to structured data set, face recognition, image recognition, all of this stuff are available as already developed programming interfaces. And the last one is Power BI, which we use for data visualization. Of course, you can use other components of Microsoft Azure, like, for example, you can use components for compute. For example, today we will use virtual machines. And also, for example, if you want to create websites, you can use, you can deploy web application. You can also develop mobile applications and use all other components which are available in Azure. So in this session, we will just, as example, we will use this demonstrational scenario where AdventureWorks Travel, this is artificial company, it provides concierge services for business travelers. So they're trying to differentiate themselves and provide added value to their corporate customers. And they are looking to pilot a web application. So in our example, we need to create a web application. It will be used by their internal customer service agents to provide additional information useful to travel during the flight booking process. So for this, they will need to use flight information and produce predictions. So we will need some way to store flight information and to use this information to train our prediction model, prediction experiment. And then we will need some way to publish this experiment to use it in our web application. So we will be predicting delays for flights. And we will take into account whether we need to take into account whether forecast to make predictions of delays. Also, let's assume that one of requirements here is that they want to use open source technologies. And also, they don't have experience with machine learning, with Microsoft R. And they will need an easy way to create prediction experiment, right? Let's assume that this is our scenario today. So if we will take a look on Cortana Intelligence Suite, which components we can use. I just highlighted components with this yellow, little greenish color, right? So we will use Data Factory to orchestrate how we transfer data, how we transform data. We will use blob storage in this case because we don't have very significant amount of data to store information about flights, historical information. And we will use HD Insight for processing. And in this case, we will use Spark implementation of Hadoop in Azure. And this is open source technology, which is kind of familiar to our artificial client, right? So we will use flight information, load flight information from a virtual machine, but also we will use weather forecast. And in this case, we are using a public service, which is called Weather Underground. We can use machine learning for predictions, and we are using machine learning in this case because obviously we have a requirement that they need a simple way of creating models. They need just to study this machine learning. So Azure Machine Learning is a very great product for this. And then we will use HD Insight to process information and present historical information in Power BI. And also we will create a web application to like an interface for our agents. So this is an example of how architecture might look like. But also there are, of course, all of the alternative ways of doing this. For example, if we had really huge amounts of data, we could use Azure Data Lake Storage. And to analyze data, we can also use Azure Data Lake Analytics using this uSQL language. This environment is very friendly to other Microsoft products. It's highly integrated with Microsoft Visual Studio for development. But also we can use HD Insight, Hadoop-based systems, and all of the open source components available there. So to make sure that you have enough information to make this correct choice, how to choose solution for big data products, some time ago I arranged this big data decision tree, which kind of represents big data scenarios in three different buckets. First of all, you can have big data in terms of big volumes of data, then big, large, high velocity of data arriving, and another one is high variety of data. So in the first case, we're talking about, for example, we can talk about relational data, but in this case, it can be not only SQL Server or usual amounts of data, but also we can use analytics platform system or parallel data warehouse like architecture, which handles much higher amounts of data. There are solutions for complex event processing, and also when we're talking about NoSQL data, which means unstructured or semi-structured data, then we can use all of these different components. Some of them I already mentioned here, but we in Azure we can use some other alternatives. And also when we talk about advanced analytics and specifically about machine learning, we have a lot of different options there. When you make a decision, first of all, it depends. For example, if you want to use cloud-only capabilities, in this case, you can use machine Azure machine learning or cognitive services if you know that already in cognitive services you have already available API programming interface to do this type of analysis. Also, if you store data in the relational data warehouse, then we have options in SQL Server. We have R services already built in SQL Server, or you can use, for example, R Server for Teradata. You can use R Server standalone on Linux virtual machine, or you can use Hadoop-based machine learning capabilities. You can use MapReduce, or you can use Spark, like most more performant way and of doing big data analysis based on big data. And this type of Spark uses in-memory technologies also. And on top of the MapReduce of Spark, you can use, you can deploy different machine learning products, right? For example, on top of Spark, you can deploy Mahout Samsara, Spark MLib, or R Server based on Spark. So hopefully this will allow you to somehow will simplify how you make decisions about which components to use in your big data products. And now, on the second part of my presentation, I wanted to cover actual solution workflow for our scenario, for our demo scenario. So this solution was, this example was developed by our another technical architect, Todd Kitta. And this is end-to-end scenario, and it covers actually our business scenario, which I described before. So first of all, we will use a virtual machine to store data. So this virtual machine already contains data set, which we will need for analysis. And we can also use it to connect to use a Visual Studio and to connect to different data sources and create components of solution. First of all, we can use Data Factory to transfer data from virtual machine to storage. And then we will create another data set in the blob storage using, again, Data Factory and using machine learning as solution, I mean, as component to make predictions. We will use Spark to also aggregate data and create historical data set, which you then display using Power BI report. And also we will create web application, which we will use the same machine learning model, but to make prediction from the user interface. And using those links, you can also use this scenario and deploy it yourself. So let's go to the Azure portal. So first of all, here we have a specific resource group which contains already deployed solution, right? And we can see different components of solution here. First of all, we can connect to the virtual machine, and in this case, in our virtual machine, we have data set, and we can deploy Microsoft Data Management Gateway to connect from the data factory to load data to Azure from this virtual machine. I will skip this step now, and I will start from the next step, which will cover actual machine learning model, which will use this data set to create predictions, right? So in this case, we have a separate machine learning workspace. And from this workspace, we can actually connect to the experiment, which we will use to make predictions. So in this case, I'm already showing to you already deployed experiment. So in this case, I already tested different machine learning models. And I already deployed a model which I will use for predictions. But in general, we use several data sets here. First of all, we use data set with flight delays. So this is historical data of previously flight delays which we had in previous years. We can visualize this data set if you want. So we have dates here and also carriers, delays, and other parameters. Airport code is important here. Another data set, which we use components of Azure Machine Learning to make transformations here. Then we use another data set, which is called flight weather and airport codes. So this is a data set about weather conditions in different airports, right? So we have, again, we have different attributes representing different weather conditions. This data set will be later, we will use this data set from the separate publicly available web service. And we have airports. Here, airport code, right? And coordinates here. And we're using a join to join data from all of these data sources. And then we use already available, already trained machine learning model to make predictions. And also we, after So let me just show you data set with predictions. In this case, we have airport data, we have weather conditions, and our prediction is a scored label here. So in most cases, we don't have delays, but in some cases, we have a number of delays. So it's like 8.5% of delays for our data set. And we have scored probability. We will display this information also in our web application and also in our Power BI report. So this is the model. When we're developing the model, we can, of course, use different models. For example, here we're predicting, so it's kind of two-class classification. We're predicting only if we will have delay or we will not have delay. That's why if, for example, when I'm developing model, I am just selecting two-class And I can see here all of these different available models. And then I just use this interface to compare performance of different models. And then I can choose a model which performs better for this type of data set. This model is deployed. So I already deployed it as a web service. And I already have keys to the web service and address of the web service, which I will use in other components of the solution. Then we use Data Factory to take data from our blob storage. We will use machine learning as a service to actually make predictions. And then we will, so here is our data set, source data set. We are making predictions here. And then we are recording data to another data set. So how we create this type of process here using Data Factory? We have a special authoring interface for this. And first of all, we are creating linked services. This is like connections to our different data sets. So it can be used like connection to a data set. For example, here we're connecting to the blob storage using this account name and account key. But also we're using linked services to actually transform data. So in our case, we are connecting to the actual machine learning model to make predictions. So this is address of our endpoint of our machine learning model. Then we're creating data sets. So in this case, we have input data set, which will be named flight and weather CSV. And we have, and it uses this linked service for blob storage. And also we are using data output, which will be another file name, but in the same blob storage. And then we create pipeline, which actually describes that we will use input-output data sets, and we will use linked service with machine learning. And for some of the pipelines, we already have interface in Data Factory. For example, if you want to copy data from one data source to another data source, you can use already pre-built user interface to make this type of transformation. Okay, so another component which we use is Spark cluster. Here, so it's HD inside based on Spark implementation. And in this case, let me just open. So currently, we don't use much of nodes. We use only two head nodes and two worker nodes. But if we need, we can scale this cluster. So when we are deploying this solution for production, then we scale in this cluster to make sure that we can handle a lot of different requests. Or if we will start intensively use this solution for analysis, analyzing a lot of data. But currently, I'm just using Jupyter Notebook to create aggregation for this data set. So in this case, first of all, I'm connecting to this data source, which is a scored flight weather CSV file. And I am creating a data frame based on this data source. So this is the first part of our notebook here. And we're storing results in the separate table. Then we're showing this table. So we're selecting from this flight delays table. So in this case, we have airport code, latitude, longitude, date, carrier. If we have prediction, if delay is predicted, and also probability of this prediction. Then we're creating another request to aggregate data. So in this case, we're selecting from this flight delays data set, but also we are filtering data by month number 4 and grouping data by airport coordinates, month, day, hour, and only selecting predictions where we have delays. where we actually have delays. So this is another data set here. And on the last step, we are selecting we're just selecting this information and writing this information to the flight delay summary. So this is kind of process which we can do using Spark Analytics, but also Spark Cluster. But obviously, we can use other components which are available in Hadoop. Then we are using this historical data set actually to create Power BI report. So let me just show this Power BI report in our virtual machine here. Okay, so for some reason I cannot show it here, and that's why I will just show you the same report in Power BI service. So in this case, I already use Power BI desktop application to connect to the Spark cluster, this CSV file. And I created a report on top of this file. So for example, if I select different airport codes, I can see historical, I can see this airport on the map. And also I can see delays, average delays probability by day for this particular selected airport. And of course you can make changes to this report if you need. If you, for example, at some point you have another data set which can be connected to this data set, then you can use this to make another additional visualizations in this model. So this was historical analysis. And the last step of our project is to create a web application to actually give this result to our agents. In this case, we're using App Service in Azure to create application. So when you will use this example, if you will play with this example, you will kind of, it will be deployed automatically. And then you have this page with settings of your application where you can actually make changes. For example, here I'm using machine learning API key to connect to the machine learning experiment to make predictions. I need workspace name here, service ID, and also I'm using a web API key, which is an API key for the publicly available web service, which we also use for this solution. This is actual interface which our agents will use, so they can select different airports, date, time, and carrier. They can see, then they can see delay prediction for this specific combination of attributes. For example, if I will change here airport to, let's say Atlanta, and then make predictions, you will see that it changes here. So it says that it will be no delay, but with another level of confidence. So this is the demonstration I wanted to show you. Also, you can not only use this end-to-end scenario to play with it, but also in our Cartana Intelligence Gallery, we have other different examples of experiments. So you can filter here by language, filter by industry, what type of model you want to use. And also, in this case, we can see, for example, first of all, probably you would like to start with Microsoft content only, and then you can see content from other people who are developing solutions and publish solutions to the Cartana Intelligence Gallery. Also, here we have already available pre-developed solutions, which means that here you have a set of components. And for example, if you choose any solution from here, you will deploy all different components for this solution. So it will be already integrated. And then if you want, you can make changes to the solutions. So that's it. That's all I wanted to present today. Also, in this deck, I have a list of different resources which you can use to move forward with Cortana Intelligence Suite and with big data products. And let's move forward to our Q&A session.
One of the questions is, could you please explain the Spark component and how it was used in the example? Right, so if you're familiar with Hadoop, right, Spark is kind of an evolution of that. It's an in-memory computation engine that gives you great performance, great scalability as well. And what we did in this example is we used a Jupyter notebook, which allows you to do interactive analytics. So by that, what we mean is, as you type new commands, you can actually see the output of those results, as opposed to having to script an entire job end to end and then waiting for that to process until you have the available results. So it really allows you to have a much more agile experience, and it also includes additional libraries. There's a great environment of open source, publicly available tools that you can utilize to even build out machine learning models there. So in this case, it was very much used in the data preparation side, getting the data in the right format that you can then start applying your Azure machine learning models. Okay. Let's see what else we have. Okay. We have another example that is, what is the best data storage solution for fast retrieval? Okay, well, that can take, first of all, different forms, especially when we take a look at the Azure components and what's available to you there. So first of all, you have to understand is your data in a structured or unstructured format? If we're talking about data that's relational in a structured format, I would probably take a look at, you know, based on your data volumes, Azure Data Warehouse. You may also already have an existing investment or experience in Hadoop. So maybe take a look at Hive, that example. You could also store data in a raw format as files in Azure Blob Storage. And we have standard storage tier as well as a premium storage tier, which is solid state drive based. So first of all, you have to understand what your application is and then understand the various options you have in Azure and apply that to that scenario accordingly. Okay. Let me take a look at what other questions we have. Okay, we have a question around how can predictive analytics and machine learning platforms be used generically in other industries, like say automotive fleets? Well, first of all, you have to understand what are some of the business drivers in those industries. So for example, let's take a look at fleet automation, right? A lot of, for example, carriers are applying that to understand the behavioral and usage patterns of the vehicles. They want to understand how the vehicles are being used. Maybe they're also trying to use predictions to predict unusual behavior. For example, is a vehicle off the route that it was meant to be used? You also want to use it possibly in scenarios where you want to continuously monitor the state of that vehicle so that you can react to specific changes. So that's a typical scenario for predictive maintenance. We're seeing more and more of those type of applications, both from the vehicle insurance industry, as well as the vehicle rental companies starting to apply that to give their customers a unique experience as well as optimize their business operations. Okay. Let's see what else we've got here. So we've got another question. What are some of the challenges in getting data ingested to a platform like this? Well, typically what I see with our customers is some of the challenges is how do you move large volumes of data into that environment? So when we take a look at a scenario like IoT, where we're retrieving data in real time from sensors, that data is probably already traveling over the internet. So the Azure cloud makes perfect sense as a place where you want to store that data. In other scenarios where you already have the data sitting in your data center, well, you can first of all do a large upload of that data. That's all of your historical data. We provide various methods of that. You can simply upload it if you have a good internet connection to the cloud, or we also provide a facility where you can actually give the data to the Microsoft Azure team on a secure encrypted drive, and we will then do that as an initial load. Some of the other challenges are that, you know, how do you maintain data quality? And that's where you can start using a combination of tools automated by Azure Data Factory, right? You can create that end-to-end pipeline, move the raw data as quickly as you can into a mechanism where you can start getting a better view of it. So I'm talking about Hadoop, Spark. Let the people who understand that data be able to easily explore that data with the capabilities and performance that they can leverage there. So it's really an iterative process, but you can very easily start playing with those components in Azure without having to make a significant investment in that. We also have a question around whether we will have these slides available for later. Absolutely. They will be posted in the resources section after the webcast and live show. So don't worry, you will be able to access that information and the links that we have there. And let's see. Okay. We have another question that says, in Azure Machine Learning, where can we see the weight applied to a column of data in a predictive experiment? Okay, so typically, when you look at the trained model component within Azure Machine Learning Studio and you visualize it, it'll actually go and show you what the weighting is per feature. Now, that may vary slightly depending on which algorithm you use, but that's where you find it. So take a look at your trained model component as well as your scored model component, and you should be able to see those outputs there. And let's see. Here is a quite a long question. We are building a process that generates millions of rows of unstructured data set. We want to build an API that queries that data and returns it. What would you recommend for data storage? So in that scenario of where you want to actually build an API, right? The first question is, do you actually have to do any type of processing on that data based on your APIs? Is that data already going to be stored in the required format? Or do you want to provide some type of basic analytics or query capability where a user can apply a filter, for example, to that REST API? If the data is already in the format that you need it, then I would suggest probably starting off with the basic Azure Blob storage. Right? You can actually get a secure URL link to that data, or allow it to be seen as a file share for users to access. If you want to wrap it as an API, you can do that, and the API will then retrieve data from that Azure Blob storage. If you need to do some type of computation on top of that, that's where you can then start looking at Hadoop, or for example, our other technology, Azure Data Lake. That will allow you to actually run queries in batch based on the user query in that API request. So that's something else to consider. Obviously, each component has different capabilities and price points, which you should consider in your architecture. So it looks like we don't really have anything else. Okay. I think, Ivan, we had quite a few requests to see some of those resources that you posted at the end. Would you mind bringing up that slide for everybody in the audience?
Yes, absolutely. So in general, we have here this link to the training, it's to this end-to-end scenario itself, right? We also have a public site for Cortana Intelligence Suite, from which you can take a look on documentation and also different references. So this one is solutions based on Cortana Intelligence. This one is a separate course for that data science and machine learning. So it's publicly available in edX.org resource. And two last links is machine learning decision trees. But still, if you need something else, just you can also post questions after this recording to the page where we will publish this recording and then ask questions there. And we will post also, if you need something else, we will post references there. So I think that probably that's it. Thank you for visiting our session, live session. And goodbye. Thank you so much.